Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaidi.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning of Threat and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
And a good Saturday morning to you this last day of the month of January, welcoming any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. We have, I was almost going to say in studio, we haven't done that for a while. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is back with us once again. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning. And I always miss being in studio with you, but I don't miss having to walk from the parking and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. And
there
not
is definitely...
being able to do it in my jammies and that kind of stuff, you know.
I'm with you there. There is something, though, about being in the same room, same studio. There's that, you know, better interaction and all of that.
There is,
and,
yeah.
We could joke in between things. Not that we can't do that now. But,
right. It's that frantic, like, Teresa, shut up. It's the end of the section. I have to do a hard break here. Shush!
Then we can take a break and go have some great CCO coffee and all of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I miss that.
Like anything else, life is filled with trade-offs. All right. Let us invite our listeners to join in on this conversation. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and you know, we tend to get real busy on this hour, so by all means, send it to us earlier or later. Call us if you like. If you want to call and chat with Teresa, that's great. Same number if you want to rather send a text, 651-461-9226. I know we have listeners from all over the country, all over the world for that matter. 651-461-9226. Texter says this. I have a poinsettia, which still looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. When do I transplant and put it in a bigger pot?
You know, what you might want to do is just make sure that when you're watering it, you take it out of that little papery thing and make sure that the water does that and then empty out the extra water. But it sounds like you're doing a really good job, so keep doing what you're doing. What you can do is carefully remove the poinsettia now from the pot. What you're just doing is looking at how root bound it is. It could be that it's not very root bound, so you don't have to transplant it. Or it could be that, okay, it is very root bound. I would probably wait until March or April when there's more sunshine out there, when the plant starts actively putting on new growth. Then I would probably think, okay, I can now transplant it. It's just a little easier on the plant.
Your name was brought up at a previous
Uh-oh.
Show. No. In fact, someone sent a text to ask, please ask Teresa to go through that whole process. I'm just going to simplify it. Is with that milk jug growing stuff.
Oh, the
program.
Winter sowing.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Okay. So the idea is to lots of our seeds, many of our native seeds especially, need winter stratification. They have to go through the freezing and the thawing or the cold spell in our winter to actually start growing in spring. So what we're going to do is we're going to plant seeds and put them outside, and we don't have to then water them in the house or put lights on or worry about the grandchildren playing with them and knocking them over. And we don't have to worry about any of that or damping off. So what you do is you take a regular milk jug or a big salad container, those plastic salad containers, anything that can hold soil. The smaller the container, the easier it is to blow away in the winter, so don't use that. But the bigger containers are just easier to use. What you want to do with the milk jug is cut it in half so you have a top and a bottom. You'll take the lid off of the top. You can leave part of the jug still attached so it flips open, or you can cut it all off. It's whatever you want to do. You want to put in 1 to 2 inches of potting soil at the bottom. get it nice and wet, like mud and soupy, and then you want to plant some seeds in there. I usually would say do one kind of seed in a container if possible. Then on the outside of the top, you want to write what that seed is in a marker. And then you also want to put a marker inside and write on that what the seed is. Then you'll take duct tape and you'll tape the container back together again. Then you'll walk outside with the container and a big knife, and you're going to punch a bunch of holes in the bottom of the container, and the water will start to drain out. You want to set that milk jug then with the lid off, and set that milk jug on the north or east side of your house or under a shrub, somewhere not next to the south or west side of your house. You don't want it to warm up too much. What during the wintertime. What's going to happen is those seeds then will germinate when it's the right time for them to germinate. So when it starts getting warm out, check on them. If the soil looks very dry, you can pour a little bit of water in the top, but then they'll start to germinate. They'll already be hardened off. They'll be protected from the birds and the squirrels and the bunnies. And then when you're ready, you can just take those out, take them out of the container, break the little seed packet, all the little seeds apart or the germinated plants apart, and then plant them in your soil as you need to. Wintersowing.org or the extension site has some good information too on winter sowing. You can do lots of vegetables. You can do lots of flowers. Some will work and some won't. Herbs will work. It's just a great way to get a bunch of plants growing that you can just fairly inexpensively get them growing. And if it doesn't work, that seed doesn't work for you, you haven't lost anything except the cost of the seed.
Yeah. Winter sowing is what you call it.
Winter sowing. Yep.
All right. Yep. Great. Thank you. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Kathy is calling in from Shakopee this morning. Thank you for waiting, Kathy. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. I have two dwarf Alberta spruce trees in my garden. And last year, already with the cold and the wind, I had dead spots. So in the spring, I cut them out. Some came back, some did not. Well, I'm sure that'll happen this year after our cold weather and everything. My question is, what's the best way and, you know, the time in the spring to rejuvenate them, if I can rejuvenate them?
Those plants are really hard. They winter burn so easy for us. So in the spring when they start to show new growth, that's the time when you can start pruning your spruces back. And then you can prune it back. Cut out the dead stuff because it's never coming back again. But that may activate some growing points inside deeper into the plant. Then that can fluff out that area, or they may not fluff out that area. Those plants really winter burn easily. In the fall, just water them as best as you can until the ground's nearly frozen. That may help a little bit. Good luck with that, Kathy. That's a good question.
All right, very good. If you have a question of your own, any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, call it in or text it in. Here's the one number that'll get you either, 651-461-9226. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Be right back on the other side with more. Again, call us, text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCC, where the temperature now has moved to zero. But it looks like we make it up to 18 today. We'll have that forecast coming along in a few minutes from now. But in the meantime, it is zero. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. We're coming up to 8:20 Central Time from the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering all the lawn and garden questions that are on your minds this morning. By all means, you can call it in, your question, or send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. All right, getting back to the text messages. Teresa, here's one. What can I do to slow my lemon and lime trees from dropping so many, many leaves? Fertilizing monthly and regularly watered. It's full of fruit, so that's positive.
That is positive. First of all, do a good check to make sure there is no insect infestation on their scale or spider mites or anything like that. Again, then also make sure you're giving it as much light as you possibly can. It's not sitting in a draft. People aren't knocking it when they walk by, all of those things will help. But it sounds like you're doing everything well. It's just normal for trees to lose some leaves and then to regrow them. Our trees in the wintertime often lose leaves. And even though these trees are in areas where they don't normally go through a winter, they still get less light, and that will help them drop some leaves and grow new leaves. That's what plants are supposed to do. But it gets kind of scary when our plants start losing all these leaves all of a sudden. But think, they're a tree, so they're kind of supposed to drop leaves occasionally. But if you can mitigate by increasing light, and maybe if they're not actively growing, you say they have a lot of fruit on them, so maybe just half strength that fertilizer every other month or something, just to until they start actively growing and putting on those new leaves and everything else. But it sounds like they're healthy, and just keep doing what you're doing. And I'd also say go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and there is some information there on fruit trees inside.
Remember years ago, we had a Meyer lemon tree, and it was relatively successful, but it ended up getting, that's when I first learned from you and your colleagues about gnats.
Fungus gnats. Yep.
I'm not sure that's what killed it. It may have been my technique, but
I lost some to scale. That's what I lost them to.
But yeah. Something I didn't do, and I just thought of it now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a dumb question. Could I have brought that in the summertime outside?
Yes.
So you can bring it inside, outside, you know, at the proper time.
Definitely. You'd want to make sure that when you put it outside first, it's like you would bring any plant from the inside to the outside, even if you buy it from a nursery or something, if it's growing inside. You want to get it used to being outside. It needs to toughen up and get used to more light, such direct light. So you put it outside in a protected area, a little shady area for maybe a week or so, and move it into more sun and more sun till it can finally be out in the full sun. But yes, putting our plants outside in the summer, if we possibly can get rid of a lot of pests, and then we bring them back carefully in a reverse order so we don't bring pests into the house. But yeah, sometimes you'll find that those fungus gnats will disappear outside because there's a lot of critters that want to eat those outside.
Oh, okay. I'll try that maybe next
time. You know, the hummingbirds and everything like that love those little flies. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea. And I remember it all being always being very fragrant.
Yes.
Flowers. Lemon tree.
Yes. Lemon tree, so very pretty, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the flowers are of a lot of the citrus fruit are very fragrant and can really be a nice addition to the home inside.
Maybe I'll give it a go this time. A texter wants to know, are there many peach varieties that work in Minnesota?
We've got about three of them. I want to say Contender is one. And they have the same names as battleships or aircraft carriers, which always kind of worried me. But they're tough. So like Contender, and there's two other ones that are just escaping my brain right now. But yeah, we do have some. They're a zone 5, maybe 4B, 5A. I had grown fruit trees, many of those, in my yard for many years, but I have a sheltered city yard. But yeah, probably a zone 4A, maybe not. Zone 3, probably not. But yes, in zone 4B or 5, you can probably easily grow those peach trees.
Somebody wants to grow, let's see if I get this right, a hibiscus tree. What is the process for success with that?
Okay, so if you're looking for the tropical hibiscus, they're often sold as tree forms already, or you can buy a plant and train it up. You are going to have to bring it inside in the wintertime. The perennial hibiscus that we can grow here, I don't think you can get it to grow because it'll die to the ground every year. It's a flower. It's a herbaceous plant. You won't be able to grow it as a tree. The above ground parts will not make it through winter.
Oh, you know what? I just see a follow-up. The texture meant a hydrangea, not hibiscus.
Oh, hydrangea. Okay. That makes more sense. That makes much more sense. So you can buy hydrangea trees already started for you. Otherwise, just look, what are they growing as a hydrangea tree? You can buy that as a shrub form if that's cheaper. And then you just have to prune out the less thick ones and then start your trunk. But it's often easier just to buy the hydrangea tree. And it should be on its own stock, but if it's grafted on rootstock, that's okay too. And it should be just fine. There's a lot of those here.
Very good. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, if you're just joining us, she is answering those lawn and garden questions today, either by phone or by text as usual. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Here is another text. I just purchased, Texas is a sea holly plant online. Did I buy something invasive and regrettable?
If it's what I'm thinking, it's not invasive. If it starts with an E for the Latin name, it's not invasive. It's a nice plant in your garden, a nice herbaceous flowering plant in your garden. But I'm not sure where you would have purchased it this time of year, because you can't put it outside yet because the ground's frozen.
Hmm.
But maybe they're shipping plants earlier. I can't imagine shipping plants in this weather. But the wonders of modern the world, I don't know. But sea holly, and make sure that the Latin name starts with an E. Look that up. And then if it's the same plant, it should be just fine.
You being a master gardener, I was wondering, and we talk about that program from time to time here in CCO. How many master gardeners are there? And are they connected to each county? Is that how it works?
Right. It's each county, although a few master gardeners do work cross-county. They're just closer to maybe the edge of a big county, and so they work with the other county easier. But yes, it is county-based. Most counties in Minnesota do have a program. Here in Hennepin County, we're the largest program. I think we're running about 900 or so master gardeners.
Wow.
Which means our coordinators are like, they're herding cats. They're amazing. Rachel and Terry are amazing. But they have a lot on their hands. But there's some counties that just have a few master gardeners. So check with your county if you want to become a master gardener. Put it on your list for August to check and apply and see if your county has a master gardener program. Because we'd really like everyone who wants to become a master gardener to become one. But yep, we have quite a few in Minnesota. And the master gardener programs are county based and they're amazing.
All right. Interesting. All right. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break, see what that forecast is calling for. But we have more time for your lawn and garden question, by all means. But we don't want to run out of time before we can help you. So call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Our forecast right ahead on News Talk 830 WCCO. And if you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering all of those lawn and garden questions you may have on your mind this morning. Call us, text us, whichever's easier, 651-461-9226. Bunch of text messages for you. But before we get back to those, you know, we always like to mention the Arboretum. We are so lucky to have that in our presence here, the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. What's going on there? Well, there's something. It doesn't matter the season. There's always something going on.
There's always something.
How about right now?
Well, right now the spring flower show is going on. So if you need some beautiful colors and that smell of green growing stuff, you could head out to the Arboretum and enjoy that inside. It's not outside. The conservatory also has a few things in bloom, so you can get your fix of living and growing plants. If you're one of those hardier souls and love to snowshoe, there's the full moon snowshoe tomorrow. So that's bringing in the full moon on February 1st. We also have knitting classes out there, so you can knit with the auxiliary knitters, and you can just have some fun time knitting. There's a lot of beautiful art exhibits out there, just amazing stuff. And then if you want to head outside, you could look at what the evergreens are doing right now. What does a spruce look like in winter when it starts to get its pine cones? What is a pine? What is an arborvitae? What is a hemlock? How do they all look in the landscape? landscape. So if you're thinking of adding some of those plants in, you can do that. Also, then you can look at lots of the trees. They have their beautiful bark is what's showing now in the shape of the tree. A Kentucky coffee tree in summertime looks very different than from a Kentucky coffee tree in the wintertime. You can see how it's more skeleton, and you can really get the shape of the tree. So if you're thinking of adding any trees, or you just miss your big trees in your yard and because they had to be taken down or something, you could go out and visit some big trees at the Arboretum and see what's going on. And then also just as you walk through or drive through parts of the Arboretum, you can observe what's my favorite thing called winter interest on the plants. Just look at those seed heads that are standing up, the shape of the plants as they stand above the snow in the winter, how they reflect on the snow in the winter and cast shadows. You can just really enjoy some beautiful winter interest. So there's all kinds of things to do at the Arboretum. Just fun things. Get out there, get some fresh air. It's going to be really hot today. It's going to be 18, so you can get out there in the heat wave and enjoy it. And I am promising my neighbors not to be running around in shorts and my bikini tops today. So they can rest assured they won't have to see that in the heat wave.
Well, also, Teresa, you can have lunch at the Arboretum, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, you can have lunch at the Arboretum. You can browse in the bookstore or in the gift shop. And then you can also go over to the Anderson Library and look at the books that are over there. They have a storytelling time over there during the week, I think that is. And you can look and see what those beautiful books look like. And
yep.
There's just a lot of things to do at the Arboretum. It's just a way to get out and enjoy some of the beautiful things we have in Minnesota. And it's a
gem. And if you're wondering where
it
is, you go west on Highway 5 to 41. You'll see it off to your left and just a few feet down the road, and you take a left and get right in there. Now, I assume it's best to go online to get
tickets. Yes, go online, make sure that what's open, what trails are open, how you can get. I think the Bee Lab's still going on, so there's a lot of things up at the Bee House to look at. I know that's not what it's called. I just blanked on it. And just look at what the Farm and the Arb is doing in the middle of wintertime. There's just a lot of things you can do. But, yes, go online and check out some of the things that are going on out there, what the ticketing information is for you, what trails are open, what trails are shut.
Sure.
If you can drive on 3 mile drive or not, it really depends on what they've got going on out there. So be prepared and have fun.
Absolutely.
And dress for the weather. But
of course.
Even at 18, please, no shorts, no swimsuit tops.
No.
Please, not outside.
Please, especially not at lunch.
At lunch.
Texter wants to know, what's a good way to get rid of some very small bugs on my lemon tree? It's loaded with flower buds, but also little spider webs.
Oh, those are called spider mites, M-I-T-S-E-S, I'm sorry. The easiest thing to do is if you can get some insecticidal soap that's acceptable on fruit trees, and you can use that to spray. You will have to repeat it every 7 to 10 days for a really long time because they are laying eggs, and those eggs will hatch at different times. The spider mites are little sucking insects, and they have their webbing, which is a wonderful way for us to identify it. But they can do a lot of damage and stress your plants. I was going to say, if it didn't have the flower buds, you could put the plant in the shower and give it a gentle shower and repeat that once a week or so. But doing that might knock off your flower buds. So that's up to you. Make sure that you're using insecticidal soap, not insecticidal dish detergent. You want to use the insecticidal soap that you buy at the counter. Go to a good garden center. Tell them what's going on. Also check the extension website, and they'll still do some more explanations about what spider mites are. This is the time of year you really have to inspect your house plants, because the spider mites and the scale and everything else and the mealy bugs, they're going to be there because your plants are really stressed. They've gone through a chill period. They've gone through a lot of not as bright light as they would like, or just your house is different. Maybe it's really dry. So they're really stressed a lot. Like a lot of us, we're really stressed because we're inside all the time. So just those are spider mites. Good luck.
Very good. Call us or text us any kind of a lawn or garden question that's on your mind. We have not had one lawn question this morning.
I wonder why.
It's the end of January, I guess. That's a good tip.
But
just
you know,
guess.
If you were looking at your lawn and thinking about your lawn, the Extension website has a lot of great information about it, things you can be aware of and what to do and landscaping and that. So, you know, if you need to get off, you know, doing the dishes or something, go to the Extension website, do some gardening research, make somebody else in the house do those chores.
Well, you know, I just had a thought, too, given the forecast, Teresa, that this might be a good weekend, today and tomorrow, to do some more seeding if we're going to have a layer of 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 inches of snow,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. Just understand when you're doing the overseeding, and Denny's talking about dormant seeding for your lawn, think about how that water, how that snow is going to melt and where it will carry the seeds away to.
That's a good point.
But, yep, if you wanted to do a little winter sowing, just or winter seeding, dormant seeding, just before the extra snow comes, because then those seeds are protected from the birds. Make sure you're feeding your birds. It's really cold out there, so feed your birds, but not with lawn seed,
no.
Because that's really expensive.
Yeah. Make sure the reminder, I've got to do that today.
Yeah.
Fill those
keep
feeders.
Keep your birds out there because it's cold. And if you can provide some open water, that's good too.
All right. Good idea. Now, I'm looking at a texter who wants any advice for transplanting raspberry bushes in the spring. They're currently west facing behind a garage, but they're hoping to move them to a sunnier spot facing location, south facing location. Will that be an issue? They want to know.
Not an issue. So you could dig up the various raspberry plants and transplant them as soon as you can in the spring. Yep.
Okay. Another listener sent this text, Teresa. I planted pussy willow bushes on the side of my house. Do the roots get aggressive with my foundation? Should I be concerned?
You always want to think about the size of the plant and if it's just a tree or a bush. You know, bushes usually aren't a problem. Sometimes trees can be a problem just because the roots get so big. Now, if your foundation has no cracks in it, you're not going to have issues with the plants getting in and breaking your foundation. However, when you have plants or if you have a leak in the water line, the roots are going to go to those areas to get the water and then get into your water lines. They're going to go to the foundation areas, and they can then, if there's a break in the foundation, they can get into the foundation, and then as the root grows, the foundation is the loser at that part. So that's what you have to think about. If it's in good shape, you should be fine. But always, if you can, think about, where am I planting this plant? Can I bring it out 2 or 3 feet from my house? And then, so you're not watering those plants and you're not putting water against your foundation of your house. You don't need to add any problems in that issue. So if you plant outside of that area, say 3 feet outside away from your house, and then the eaves aren't going to create a rain shadow for you. And when you have to water those plants, you're not putting water against your foundation. And if there are no cracks in your foundation, you should be fine.
All right.
So it's one of those it depends answers.
A bit ago, we're talking about winter sowing. I'm looking at a text, Teresa, that says, good morning, Teresa. Thank you for the information on the winter sowing. I put out 17 milk jugs.
Cool.
With 5 types of native plant seeds just before the cold hit. I'm interested in learning more about wintersowing.org. Thanks again for sharing your knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I think I might do that myself later on today. Wintersowing, one word, wintersowing.org.
Yep.
What do you think we can find there?
Yep. So you're going to find a lot of different things, or just winter sowing and Google it. There's YouTube videos. There's all kinds of things. If you're just going willy-nilly on the internet, you know, make sure that you maybe look at a few different sources and try to do something, maybe .wintersown.edu, and it will bring you to an educational site that can get some good information. But they'll give you a list of plants that work in your area. Know your zone, whether you're a 3 or a 4A or 4B or 5. The bigger numbers, they're warmer, that kind of information. And again, you can use a variety of containers. You just have to make sure that the containers can drain. And you do want, say, if you use those salad containers, you want to put the top back on when you're done, but poke a lot of holes in there so snow can accumulate on top and then melt in and water the plants inside. That's okay too. So it's just so much fun. And if you have little ones around that you're trying to either babysit or they're your little ones, it's something to do and play in the mud for a little while. And if you're a gardener, you just kind of sniff the soil a little bit and you get that smell back in your system and you get happy again.
Very good. Let's
okay, that's just me maybe, okay, but could be other people.
But 17 milkjugs, wow.
That's right. I'm impressed.
Teresa, let's take a phone call. Jane calling in from St. Louis Park this morning. Thank you, Jane. What is your question for Teresa?
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. I am interested in building a blockout fence with willow or with bamboo on the south side of my property. Is there any bamboo? I've been looking online and also willow options. I'll let you take my question. Okay. Thank you.
So are you looking for a privacy fence? Is that what you mean by blockout privacy fence?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I would steer clear of just about all the bamboos. The best thing to be used for that would probably be a running bamboo, but they are extremely invasive. So I would just steer clear of those. Willow will also sucker, but I would look for a willow that would be really good, and maybe a combination of a curly willow and a pussy willow, and then maybe put some tall ornamental grasses in there between your plants until your plants can fluff out and give you that privacy that you're looking for. Then you can remove the ornamental grasses, the tall grasses. You can put them in another spot in your yard, and then maybe throw one or two evergreens in there just to give you a little different color and some more privacy in a special area that you may need some privacy in winter for, maybe between a bedroom and a street or something like that. So you don't have just one thing all across there. But if you can find a way to find some different willows that come in different shapes and look at maybe some tall, thin evergreens or something that'll work for you to give you a little variety that will also attract more birds and things like that, and just add some more variety and great ecosystems for our yards to add those things. Willows are a wonderful addition to our yard. They help a lot of our pollinators. They use the willow in many ways, so willow is a wonderful bird and pollinator plant.
Okay. Teresa, we need to take a quick break. Be back on the other side with more to show to come. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk A3OWCCO. Stay with us. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. And Teresa, we have callers, we have texters, much to do before we sleep, as they say. Let's do this. Let's say grab a call from Karen calling in from Ramsey today. Hi, Karen. What is your question?
Well, I have a problem with the deer in my yard this year since they've been building so much behind our home. Uh-huh. And what they're doing is they're eating down all the wild vegetation around, which is kind of, we've left it kind of, you know, wild. Mm-hmm. And will these things come back or, you know, and the Annabelles, they've eaten them all down, and I don't know. I was just concerned.
That's a good concern. Yes, when their territory gets changed, they move away. So now that's what you're dealing with, Karen, and I'm sorry about that. Most of those plants will recover. However, the deer will be out there as soon as the new recovery starts, and they will continue to eat that. So what you want to think, how can I now protect my plants? I'm going to have to somehow protect them so that they can recover, because the deer don't just be there they're not just there one season. They're going to be there all season nibbling on everything for you. So if you can figure out how to protect those plants, whether that's putting up fencing or using some repellents or some exclusion that you can, it's really hard with deer because they can jump really high in a really tiny space. So it's really hard, and the repellents disappear pretty quickly. So it's a new problem you're going to have to deal with. There is some information on the extension website that might help you. But they can do a lot of damage to a yard. And then when they start going after your shrubs and trees, that damage can be a thing that could actually take those plants out if it's repeated. So it really depends how much you want to work at it and what plants you're growing and then what plants you can switch over, or if you can just exclude the deer totally from your area. Good luck with that. And in the summer, you can use things like the water-activated, motion-activated scarecrows and things like that. But that's not going to work in the winter because the water would freeze.
Looking at a text, Teresa, other than succulents, listener wants to know, can you suggest short houseplants that would be happy in a low container in a cool room with east light?
I'm thinking things like Christmas cactus would work, African violets would work. You could grow some microgreens, so you can nibble on those. There's a lot of plants that will work for you in those areas. Some of the vines, you just could grow them as a low plant rather than growing them up. Just train them horizontally instead. So you have a lot of options there. I'd check again the extension website for some ideas about houseplants. And then head over to your library and just peruse some houseplant books. Some great ideas about houseplants there. Houseplants have taken off, so it's just crazy, crazy information out there. So there's a lot of information on the internet about houseplants. Again, you know, look at many sources so you can weed out the ones that are really goofy and get the ones that have more information. And here in Hennepin County, we do have a houseplant sale in October, and you could talk to some experts at that time.
Okay, very good. Texter says this, Teresa, we have a jungle of indoor plants. We are leaving for a month. What temperature should we leave the house at?
I'd probably do something like a 60 to 65. That's not too warm. It's not too cold. And then maybe put some kind of warning system in. So if the temperature does drop for some reason, we have a power outage or something, if you can have a person that can be your go-to person that could go over and check the house plants. And I love hearing you have a jungle. I grew up with a mom who had, we had a jungle in our house, and it was something special for me to grow up with. So it helped foster my love of plants. But I go probably 60, 62, 65. You don't want it too warm because you don't want to activate their growth too much. But yet we do have those chilly days. So you don't want it to drop too cold. You don't want it to drop down to 50. So low 60 should be just fine.
Couple of minutes to go on the show, Teresa. Here's another text for you. Texter says, I bought a snake plant, put it in a 12-inch pot. It has not grown any larger. Now, if I were to transplant it into a smaller pot, would that stimulate growth? And what soil and fertilizer should I use?
Yes. So I'd go with regular houseplant soil for those guys. And they do like to be a little more snug in their pots. So I would probably, depending upon the size of the plant, I would put it back down into a smaller container. You don't need to disturb the roots. Just pot it back up in that smaller container. And that will help the look of the houseplant too. You won't have a small pot plant in a big pot.
When is the best time of the year to split hosta and relocate?
The easiest time for you is in the spring, as they're just coming out of dormancy, because they're small and any damage you do to the leaves will quickly recover and the plants will be very very nice looking when they start to grow after you've split them. You can split them any time during the growing season. It's just when they're bigger, they look awful after you transplant them, and they kind of look scraggly for that year till they buff out a little bit the next year.
Just a reminder as we head out of here, Teresa, and I know you'll be back next week to help us out. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things. Certainly get to the Arboretum when you can. It's just a tremendous resource, and it's so much fun to be there. If you go there once, you've never been there, trust me, you will be a lot of repeat customers there. Mm-hmm. But what about the university website? Tell us that.
That's extension.umn.edu. That will get you to the Yard and Garden Line, and there's all kinds of information on there. Right now, some of the things you might want to be looking at is seed starting, learning that the emerald ash borer might be knocked back a little bit by the cold weather that we're having. Should you be pruning plants outside right now? What plants should you prune? How should you prune them? Why do you prune them? There's just all kinds of great information. And really, if you just want to take some deep dives on some on some beautiful subjects, go ahead and do that. And just tell your family you're doing research for the garden and landscape.
That's right.
And they just have to pick up the slack in some.
Good idea. Extension.umn.edu. Thanks, Teresa. We will talk next week.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney will be joining us again next week for the show, and you can ask more questions at that time.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.